You're listening to SBS News.
In northern Iran, people in the city of Rasht take to the streets in large numbers. It's one of a number of protests across the country. Protests in Iran have continued for 11 days, now spreading to 28 of Iran's 31 provinces. According to the US-based human rights activist news agency, the group relies on an activist network inside Iran for its reporting and has been accurate in its information on past protests. The agency says the death toll has now reached at least 36 killed, with 2,000 arrests. The latest wave of protests started with shopkeepers in the capital, Tehran, criticising the sharp fall in the value in the country's currency against the US dollar. Tehran shopkeeper Karim Hadari says the sharp decline of the country's currency, as well as soaring inflation, will see prices of basic items become more unaffordable.
Every day, I see customers who can no longer afford some items. They only buy main staples, they can't afford other stuff. For example, when the price of fruit juice more than doubled, they would no longer buy it. They just buy some bread, a bottle of milk, and a tray of eggs, and then leave.
Even with a threefold increase in government subsidies for households to buy food essentials, the prices of basic goods in Iran are projected to rise by up to 30% in coming weeks. Resident Hanag Baksh says it's hard to survive.
A litre of cooking oil, which used to be 790,000 rials, is now 1,850,000 rials. And as the government announced, prices for other goods will rise by 50% to 100%. As goods become more expensive, costs for all services will increase too. The price hikes will spread into other areas of people's lives.
It wasn't long before the protests spread to provincial cities and university campuses. Political analyst Shukriya Bradost is a Washington-based Kurdish-Iranian scholar. She says members of the traditional support base of Iran's rulers are also now joining the protests, with demonstrations in the cities of Qom in central Iran and Mashhad in the northeast.
It began with the merchants of Tehran, Grand Bazaar. That's how it became unique, because these merchants have always been known as a conservative group with a strong connection with the regime, with the government. When even they lost trust and began to protest, it shows that this traditional support is now broken. People saw that if the merchants are suffering from the falling currency and economy pressure, then the problem are really truly serious.
She says the economic deterioration has been accelerated by the impact of sanctions applied over Iran's nuclear program, as well as government mismanagement and corruption.
The president Pezeshkian's own words and or explanation when he said that the $12 billion that the government spent for medical and food for the people, $8 billion being stolen. That shows the amount of corruption in the system, which means if even one day this sanction can be removed with this system of the Islamic regime system, with this structure, for the Iranian economy to recover, it will be really difficult. That's how I concluded that Iranian regime's now facing the toughest time of the decades of ruling this country, because in all the sectors, they have no solution for people.
Beyond the daily economic hardships, protesters have also criticised Iran's ageing supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. There was also criticism of Iran's foreign policy objectives of supporting Hamas and Hezbollah to counter the influence of the US and Israel in the Middle East, with protesters chanting in the streets, "Not Gaza, not Lebanon. I sacrifice my life for Iran." The prospect of regional conflict has firmed in the aftermath of a 12-day war in June last year, when Israel launched an attack on Iran's military and nuclear sites. US President Donald Trump has intervened in recent days, issuing remarks before and after the US military operation in Venezuela, warning Iranian authorities to refrain from killing protesters, or they would be, in his words, hit very hard. Iranian officials have now shifted their emphasis from dialogue and economic reform to a more hardline response, with the use of security forces to disperse protesters and the shutdown of internet access in parts of the country. Iran's Chief Justice says the security response is a focus, and he blamed outside forces for inciting the protesters.
Those who today come into the streets to take part in riots or lead them or support them or assist them, in light of this explicit declaration of position by the criminal Zionist regime, and likewise by the criminal president of the United States, and the issues they raised, that if anyone comes into the streets for riots or to create insecurity or supports them, then no excuse remains for them. The matter has become very clear and transparent. They are now operating in line with the enemies of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Ms. Bradost says the risk of further regional conflict is very real.
This protest, the first protest after 12 days of war between Israel and Iran. Now the Iranian regime faces a very difficult situation, a deadlock in the economy, in politics, and in security. Iranian regime, in the security perspective, regime knows more attack from Israel are almost certain, not just possible. They know it's just a matter of the time when Israel is going to attack, not if Israel is going to attack.
Meanwhile, foreign governments, including the Australian government, are advising their citizens in Iran to leave as soon as possible due to the volatile security situation. Australia's embassy in Tehran suspended operations last year in June, and the government is warning that its ability to provide consular assistance in Iran is extremely limited, adding that Australians, including dual nationals, are at a high risk of being detained. Soren Edgar is the Vice President of the Australian-Iranian Community Alliance. He says the concern is for their loved ones, still in Iran.
The key issue isn't just the number, it's that the lethal force is being used and the protesters are still continuing. When the protesters are still continuing the protests, so that tells us the repression. That tells us the repression is no longer containing the crisis. They're coming to the street and they're chanting their freedom. So it means that, they've got nothing to lose.
Biwa Kwan, SBS News.